Yahweh.
Greetings to the flock of Yahweh's pasture. May the divine influence be with you. This is part one of Sheep. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Sheep is found in the Word Studies menu. This study will cover all the verses which show who Yahweh's flock is. It contains all the verses in which His people are referred to as sheep. The sheep people are one group of people and can only be one group of people. To believe otherwise is sheer madness. Our people today who do not know Yahweh are the same lost sheep of the descendants of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There are many opinions of who God's sheep are. The flock of His pasture. You will find that the churches teach that believers are His sheep. The scriptures identify the sheep as a certain group of people, and that group of people are the only people referred to as His sheep. There are people that are not His sheep and can never be His sheep. Let's look at some facts about sheep. Sheep are not intelligent. Sheep are not known to be smart or cunning animals when it comes to safety. Rather, they are susceptible and tend to wander away from the protection of the shepherd. Compared to the wisdom of God, all-knowing, all-loving, man's intelligence does not compare. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Elohim. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. People tend to wander away from God, from everything that is right and holy. Deuteronomy 27:18. Cursed be he that makes the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. Jeremiah 14:10. Thus says Yahweh unto this people, Thus they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore Yahweh does not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh Elohim, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahweh, and shall not find it. Sheep respond to the shepherd's voice. The voice of the shepherd brings comfort and security to the sheep. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Just because someone believes in God or has accepted Jesus does not mean that they are sheep or are following the right shepherd. How many millions of our people follow Jewish Jesus? They may have comfort and a sense of security in their delusional mind, but the fact is, our shepherd is not Jewish. Sheep are directionless. Sheep get lost easily. Individual sheep easily wander away from the flock while they graze. When even one sheep goes astray, the shepherd goes after it and restores it to the flock. Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If a sheep wanders off from the rest of the herd, it will have a hard, if not impossible, time finding its way back. They have no sense of direction. So it is with those outside Yahweh. There is simply no sense of spiritual direction in their lives. They cannot find their way to Yahweh by themselves. Acts 2:39. For the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call. Yahweh is calling his sheep, and it is Yahweh who chooses who hears and who doesn't. Yahweh warns us not to be deceived by false preachers, but unfortunately, most sheep are easily fooled. Sheep are weak and need a shepherd. People are spiritually weak and need the shepherd. In a deceived and deprived mind, people are always weak, foolish, and ignorant. Sheep need someone to protect and care for them. Ever seen a beware of sheep sign posted on someone's gate? Sheep are not dangerous, and they're virtually defenseless. Without claws, sharp teeth, speed, or a resounding roar to make predators think twice before pouncing, sheep are easy prey. They can't scamper up a tree, camouflage their color, or even swim. When they sense danger, the poor, timid sheep panic. A sheep's best defense is to stay close to the shepherd and remain with the herd. The same is true with us. When we are out of fellowship with Elohim and from other Christians, we are most vulnerable. We need the shepherd's wisdom and strength to survive, the comfort and encouragement of our brothers and sisters, and obedience to his laws and instructions. Sheep become restless. There are two major reasons why sheep become restless. hunger, and bugs. Hunger. Sheep can graze peacefully for hours, but they become restless when food is scarce. A well-fed sheep will not quickly feed at a stranger's hand, but hungry sheep will eat anything. There are over 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity, and statistics show that 75% of Americans identify with one of these denominations. Our people are hungry for the true Word of God, and they mistake these denominations for spiritual food, when all they are is GMRs, genetically modified religions. Bugs. There is in the Middle East a bug that torments sheep by landing and nesting in their heads. If the bug remains undetected by the shepherd, it will multiply and eventually blind the sheep. Shepherds in the Middle East routinely rub olive oil on sheep's heads to prevent the bug from landing on them, thereby eliminating the problem. In Scripture, the devil is called Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. In the spirit realm, therefore, bugs are symbolic of demons. In the physical realm, these bugs are the Jewish children of Beelzebub, father and lord of the Jew flies. Sheep are a personal, a prized, and a precious possession. Yahweh's people are referred to as His sheep. We are a special, set-apart, precious, peculiar, chosen, prized people. Sheep need plenty of water. Shepherds need to get their sheep to water very regularly. As Christians, we need the living water of the Holy Spirit continually. We cannot go without it. John 4:13. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 7:37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Sheep follow the voice of their own shepherd, no other shepherd. The Bible says the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They are not without understanding. They follow the one whom they know. The shepherd is at the front of the sheep and leads the sheep. The sheep know their shepherd, the sound of his voice, and follow him. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We are not without understanding, but we can be deceived and follow the wrong shepherd, especially if we are raised generation after generation in denominational religion. All those watchmen, pastors, and shepherds of denominational Christianity are leading their flock into the ditch because they are not teaching Scripture. They are false shepherds teaching false doctrine, and most of them are doing it in ignorance because they are not called by the Holy Spirit to preach. They are called by another spirit. The church wants to believe the fake Happy Meal message of Judeo-Christianity. Sheep cannot get up on their own. If they fall down, which is called cast down, they must have a shepherd to lift them up or they will die. Cast down sheep. This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up by itself. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to get up, without success. Sheep must be sheared for its own good. We don't like when bad things happen to us, but we must trust that it is for our own good. Whenever a shepherd finds that a sheep was cast down because it had too long and heavy a fleece, he soon took swift steps to remedy the situation. In short order, he would shear it clean and so forestall the danger of having the ewe lose her life. This was not always a pleasant process. Sheep do not really enjoy being sheared, and it represents some hard work for the shepherd, but it must be done. Actually, when it is all over, both sheep and owner are relieved. There is no longer the threat of being cast down, while for the sheep there is the pleasure of being set free from a hot, heavy coat. Often the fleece is clogged with filthy manure, mud, burrs, sticks, and ticks. What a relief to be rid of it all. When the two houses of Israel were being bad sheep, Yahweh punished them for their own good. The Assyrian and Babylonian captivities were a national shearing. Sheep must be led to grass, just as the Holy Spirit leads us to what we need. If left to themselves, they will graze in the same place until all the grass is gone. A good shepherd leads them to the best places to graze to keep them healthy. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The believers in church are grazing in the same pagan place and are not only spiritually unhealthy, but they are physically and mentally unhealthy. Their understanding is shallow. Their beliefs are all wrong because they think they are Gentiles and know only the cookie-cutter lies that they repeat. Just believe, I'm saved, Jesus is a Jew, the law was done away with. They are suffocating because they are constantly sitting in their own pew and returning to the vomit of dogmatic Christianity. Sheep remain dirty until someone cleans them. Sheepskin is full of an oil called lanolin. Lanolin comes through the skin and coats the wool. It conditions the wool so that the animal will stay warm in the cold weather. But the oily wool is one of the most effective dirt-catching devices known to man. Every time a sheep lies down, grass, dirt, burrs, dust, and everything imaginable clings to its coat. You remain dirty until you are cleansed through knowledge and understanding, and remain cleansed if you continue in the truth. Shepherds protect. With the whole flock examined and bedded down, finally the shepherd himself would lie down, stretching his body across the opening. So, the shepherd literally, physically, became the door. His body kept the sheep in and the dangers of the night out. No sheep could wander into the danger because the shepherd's body held them in. Wolves and robbers could enter to harm the flock only over the dead body of the shepherd. The shepherd would literally lay down his life for the sheep. John 10:15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A shepherd lives with his sheep. A shepherd, in order to know his sheep and care for them, has to live among them. He has to be close to them. If you are a habitual sinner, or even just a sinner living day to day in ignorance, Yeshua cannot live among you. He may call you out of ignorance, and with a change of mind and lifestyle, he then will be willing to dwell with you. If you do not want or will never come to the truth, then you won't be allowed to dwell with the fold. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? You have to realize that an unbeliever is also one that believes in falsehood, which describes everyone who goes to any of the 33,000 versions of so-called Christianity. A believer of Jewish Jesus is the same as an unbeliever. True believers understand and revere God's laws, which are still in effect, just not the rituals, blood sacrifices, and the priesthood. That's what was done away with. The doctrine of churchianity is darkness, and Christ will have nothing to do with it, except to destroy it all when he returns. A shepherd will use suffering as a last resort to get the sheep's obedience in order that the sheep doesn't lose its life. A woman visiting Switzerland came to a sheepfold on one of her daily walks. Venturing in, she saw the shepherd seated on the ground with his flock around him. Nearby, on a pile of straw, lay a single sheep, which seemed to be suffering. Looking closely, the woman saw that its leg was broken. Her sympathy went out to the suffering sheep, and she looked up inquiringly to the shepherd, and she asked, "What happened?" "I broke it myself," said the shepherd sadly, and then explained, "Of all the sheep in my flock, this was the most wayward. It would not obey my voice and would not follow when I was leading the flock. On more than one occasion, it wandered off to the edge of the cliff, and not only was it disobedient, it was leading the other sheep astray. Based on my experience with this kind of sheep, I knew I had no choice, so I broke its leg. The next day, I tried to bring food, but it tried to bite me. After letting it lie alone for a couple of days, I went back, and it not only eagerly took the food, but also licked my hand and showed every sign of submission and affection. And now let me say this. When this sheep is well, it will be a model sheep of my entire flock. Instead of leading the others away, it will be an example of devotion and obedience. In short, a complete change will come into the life of this wayward sheep. It will learn obedience through its suffering. Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The shepherd's motive. Not in anger to punish, but in love to rescue. The shepherd doesn't go after the sheep in an effort to punish it for going astray. His motive is to find the sheep and restore it to its proper place in the fold. So it is with Yeshua. He doesn't go after the lost ones so that he can punish them for their sins. They became lost because they've sinned. He pursues them in order that he might prove his loving commitment to them, keeping his promise to Abraham and the covenant, and that they might be restored to a right relationship with the Father. His motive is to deliver them from punishment, not inflict punishment upon them. Yahweh had cast off, or using the old English sheep term, cast down, his people because of idolatry, race mixing, and lack of brotherly love. This was the divorce when Yahweh sent his sheep into the seven times punishment, scattering them among the nations. This began in 745 BC with the Assyrian invasion. The gospel message is the reconciliation and restoration of his people under the better and renewed covenant. The shepherd intensifies the search. The shepherd searches until he finds the sheep. He doesn't give up after just a few minutes or hours of searching, but he stays on the job until the sheep has been recovered. So it is with Yeshua. He never gives up on the lost sheep because of the promises he made with Abraham regarding his seed. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Adam is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We will see in this study that which was lost are Israelites. The shepherd lifts the sheep. This shepherd doesn't stop with a mere touch. He reaches down and lifts the sheep out of the place where he finds it. He removes it from the place of danger. Mark 9:27. But Yeshua took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Romans 5:8. But Elohim commends his love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be preserved from wrath through him. The shepherd wants to find the sheep. 1. To use it. As long as it is lost or deceived, it is of no benefit to the sheep. Yahweh cannot use a wayward life. He demands holy vessels. Romans 3:11. There is none that understand. There is none that seek after Elohim. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We know atheists and non-believers are unprofitable and are not servants. It is the sheep in the church that are unprofitable. Every time a Jew-loving congregant tells someone about Jewish Jesus and his lies and fake promises, and that person accepts Jaime and his murdering gospel, they profit the devil and his Jewish children. 2. To rescue it from danger. Unless the shepherd has intervened, this sheep would have remained in serious danger and darkness. It could never have defended itself or rescued itself, not even if it claimed it was saved. As long as we are apart from Yeshua Christ, we are in serious danger. Hell and judgment are out there in front of us, and we need desperately to be delivered. Only the blood of Yeshua Christ delivers from the penalty of sin. 3. To rescue it from death. If the shepherd had not come looking for the sheep, it would have most certainly died out there in the wilderness. But now, it lives all because the shepherd came looking to save a wayward sheep. The sheep were married, covenanted with, and given the law at Sinai. The sheep broke the vow. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life through Yeshua Christ, our shepherd. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Yeshua HaMashiach. No man, priest, preacher, indulgence, doctrine, ritual, little g God, or Jewish Jesus can save you. Not even your own declaration of being saved. John 14:6. Yeshua said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jewish Jesus is not the way, the opposite of truth, and the way to the second death. A shepherd uses a rod. A rod was used by shepherds to defend his sheep against wild animal attacks. And the staff was used to gently guide the sheep or to rescue them from danger when they fell. The staff was also used to pull a sheep near to the shepherd to be comforted by him. The Bible teaches us how to defend ourselves from Satan's attacks. Those instructions must be understood with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge of the laws, commands, Shabbats, and feast days, the warnings from the prophets and apostles, the use of spiritual discernment, and keeping the Torah, all of which the churches do not know, do not follow, or have done away with. And the Holy Spirit is our staff to guide us and pull us closer to Elohim. The staff was used by the shepherd to direct the sheep in the way in which they should go, and, in the case of wandering sheep, to pull them back into line. Now let's examine who the sheep are in Scripture. God tests Abraham, Genesis 22:1. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. The context is tested, not tempted. There is a significant difference. Tempt implies seduction to wrongdoing. Test here means seeing if Abraham will give all to Yahweh. Verse 2, And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. Only is Yaqid, here meaning beloved. It has a deep meaning of importance. Abraham had other sons, but Isaac was most beloved. Just as we, Adamites, are God's children, Yeshua was his most beloved. Verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him. These would be Ishmael and Eliezer, his servant, and Isaac, his son, and chopped the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which Elohim had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. Jasher 23:42, And a pillar of fire appeared to him that reached from the land to the sky, and a cloud of glory upon the mountain, and the glory of Yahweh was seen in the cloud. And Abraham said to Yitzchak, My son, do you see in that mountain, which we perceive at a distance, that which I see upon it? And Yitzchak answered and said unto his father, I see, and lo, a pillar of fire and a cloud, and the glory of Yahweh is seen upon the cloud. And Abraham knew that his son Yitzchak was accepted before Yahweh for a burnt offering. And Abraham said unto Eliezer and to Ishmael his son, Do you also see that which we see on the mountain which is at a distance? And they answered and said, We see nothing more than like the other mountains of the earth. And Abraham knew that they were not accepted before Yahweh to go with them. And Abraham said to them, Abide you here with the ass, while I and Yitzchak, my son, will go to yonder mount, and worship there before Yahweh, and then return to you. Verse 5 of Genesis. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Yitzchak, his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Yitzchak spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, Elohim will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. This is symbolic and a foreshadow of Yahweh and his son Yeshua. There's no mention of struggle on the part of Isaac. The book of Jasher goes into detail here. This is a type symbolic of Christ and his willingness to die for Yahweh with no struggle. Jasher 23, verse 51. And Abraham, answering his son Yitzchak, saying, Yahweh has made choice of you, my son, to be a perfect burnt offering instead of the lamb. And Yitzchak said unto his father, I will do all that Yahweh spoke to you with joy and cheerfulness of heart. And Abraham again said unto Yitzchak his son, Is there in your heart any thought or counsel concerning this, which is not proper? Tell me, my son, I pray you. O my son, conceal it not from me. And Yitzchak answered his father Abraham and said unto him, O my father, as Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, there is nothing in my heart to cause me to deviate either to the right or to the left from the word that he has spoken to you. Neither limb nor muscle has moved or stirred at this, nor is there in my heart any thought or evil counsel concerning this. But I am of joyful and cheerful heart in this matter, and I say, Blessed is Yahweh, who has this day chosen me to be a burnt offering before him. And Abraham greatly rejoiced at the words of Yitzchak, and they went on, and came together to that place that Yahweh had spoken of. Genesis verse 9. And they came to the place which Yahweh has told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Yitzchak his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Jasher 23:61. And Yitzchak said to his father, Bind me securely, and then place me on the altar, lest I should turn and move, and break loose from the force of the knife upon my flesh, and therefore profane the burnt offering. And Abraham did so. And Yitzchak still said to his father, O my father, when you shall have slain me and burnt me for an offering, take with you that which shall remain of my ashes to bring to Sarah my mother, and say to her, This is the sweet-smelling savor of Yitzchak. But do not tell her this if she should sit near a well or upon any high place, lest she should cast her soul after me and die. And Abraham heard the words of Yitzchak, and he lifted up his voice and wept when Yitzchak spake these words. And Abraham's tears gushed down upon Yitzchak his son. And Yitzchak wept bitterly, and he said to his father, Hasten you, O my father, and do with me the will of Yahweh our Elohim as he has commanded you. And the hearts of Abraham and Yitzchak rejoiced at this thing which Yahweh had commanded them, but the eye wept bitterly, while the heart rejoiced. And Abraham bound his son Yitzchak, and placed him on the altar upon the wood. And Yitzchak stretched forth his neck upon the altar before his father. And Abraham stretched forth his hand to take the knife to slay his son as a burnt offering before Yahweh. At that time, the messengers of mercy came before Yahweh and spake to him concerning Yitzchak, saying, O Yahweh, you are a merciful and compassionate king over all that you have created in the sky and in the land, and you support them all. Give therefore ransom and redemption instead of your servant Yitzchak, and pity and have compassion upon Abraham and Yitzchak his son, who are this day performing your commands. Have you seen, O Yahweh, how Yitzchak the son of Abraham your servant is bound down to the slaughter like an animal? Now therefore let your pity be roused for them, O Yahweh. Verse 10 of Genesis. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the messenger of Yahweh called unto him out of the sky and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you revere Elohim, seeing you had not withheld your son, your only, or your most beloved son, from me. Abraham demonstrated his reverence for Yahweh. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. John 1:29. The next day John sees Yeshua coming unto him and says, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sin of the society. Just as the ram in the thicket was prepared by Yahweh since the day he made the land and the sky to be a burnt offering instead of Isaac, Christ was prepared by Yahweh from the beginning to be our propitiation. Christ is our kinsman redeemer. As we proceed in this study, you will see that the kinsman redeemer is only concerned with his kinsmen. Acts 3:25. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Kindreds of Abraham. All the tribes of the race of Adam. Peter would not be telling Gentiles, the church, or the other races that they are kindred, stock, or related to Abraham and the prophets. The message is to Israelites. 4 Maccabees 13:12. Remember of what stock you are, and by the hand of our father Yitzchak endured to be slain for the sake of piety. By placing and offering Isaac on the altar, Abraham dedicated him to Yahweh. This meant that his seed belongs to Yahweh. No other race or people were ever part of this command and sacrifice, nor included in the promises and covenants made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his offspring. This is where the ceremonial action solidified Abraham's seed through Isaac and Jacob started. Hebrews 11:17. By belief, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Yitzchak, and he that had received the promises offered up his most beloved son, of whom it was said, that in Yitzchak shall your seed be called. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few chosen. This is referring to the children of Jacob, the sheep. Joseph's family settles in Goshen after they find that he was alive and well in Egypt. Genesis 47:1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. The Israelites were shepherds of sheep. Yahweh's people are referred to as sheep. Yahweh draws those of his people who are trustworthy to shepherd and feed his sheep. Genesis 49:22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. A well is fresh water. The Great Lakes hold the world's largest source of fresh water. Joseph is represented by his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, which represent America and Europe. Verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. Joseph had hardships, but prevailed. He has turned his brothers, the archers, hatred into love. Verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, Shepherd here means leader of the flock, and that's what Joseph was. Stone of Israel means builder of Israel. Joseph was the leader of the sons of Jacob, just as the dream showed. This is where the building of the house of Israel began, with the 70 souls that went into Mitzrayim. The house, or family, of Israel becomes a great nation from here on out. It is these sons of Jacob and their descendants that Yahweh made the promises and covenants with and to. The churches have no right to include themselves or add anybody else. Verse 25. Even by the Elohim of your father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with blessings of the sky above, blessings of the deep that lie under, and blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Blessings of the womb also means compassion. Verse 26. The blessings of your father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Progenitors are the women that bore the children. What they wished for their sons is not what will come to pass. Jacob's blessing and prophecy will. The Passover. The Exodus begins. Exodus 12:1. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe and Aharon in the land of Mitzrayim, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The first month is Abib, which starts the day after the spring equinox, which is usually March 20th or March 21st. Verse 3. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. This is an example of brotherly love. Neighbors would be your racial kinsmen. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Yisrael shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, the mezuzah, and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Unleavened bread was significant, as it symbolized the haste in which Israel fled Egypt, with no time to prepare bread with leaven. It is interesting that the churches teach that the Old Testament is about the Jews. So why are the churches observing the Passover, but not any other ordinance, feast day, Shabbat, commandments, or food laws? Why do most of all denominational Christians eat ham on this day? Why do these so-called Christians not post the Ten Commandments on their doorposts, or mezuzah, which is not only a commandment, but also symbolizes the blood in which was striked on the side posts? This is because the churches do not teach Scripture or worship Yahweh, and because most of them in the congregation are not even his sheep, and the ones that are his sheep are not following him. They are following Haimi Jesus. They're already saved by their own mouth, and just believe and are waiting for the rapture. Yahweh shows Moses the promised land, but Moses and Aaron were not allowed to enter because they disobeyed him at the water of Meribah in Kadesh. Moses' life was coming to a close, and he cared deeply for his people. Numbers 27:15. And Moshe spake unto Yahweh, saying, Let Yahweh, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Yahshua, or Joshua, became their next shepherd. The parable of the poor man's lamb, 2 Samuel 12:1. And Yahweh sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he did not want to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As Yahweh lives, the man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, You are the man. Thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house, and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto you such and such things. Wherefore have you despised the commandment of Yahweh to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and taken his wife to be your wife, and had slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you has despised me, and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says Yahweh, Behold, I will raise up calamity against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives from before your eyes, and give them unto your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said unto David, Yahweh also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Howbeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the hated enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto you shall surely die. Psalm 51 is the psalm of David repenting and asking Yahweh for mercy because of these transgressions. In 1 Kings chapter 22, we see Micaiah's prophecy. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to Ahab, king of Israel, who persuaded him to go up to Ramoth-Gilead to take it from the king of Syria. Jehoshaphat asks Ahab to inquire at the word of Yahweh. Israel was in apostasy and relied on many false prophets, 400 of them which did not get any words from Yahweh, which said, Go up, for Yahweh shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat knew these were false prophets, so Ahab called for Micaiah. Ahab hated him because he never prophesied any good concerning him. 1 Kings 22:13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let your word, I pray you, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As Yahweh lives, What Yahweh says unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for Yahweh shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Micaiah was mocking him. Verse 16. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure you that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of Yahweh? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And Yahweh said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. They went up anyway, and Ahab was killed in battle. The moral of the story is that if Yahweh did not instruct or bless a decision, and you rely on false prophets or preachers, then you will receive just recompense. If you are leading a congregation and Yahweh did not call you to lead, and you are leading the people under a counterfeit doctrine in the name of Jewish Jesus, then you are scattering the sheep. You are leading them into the ditch. The ditch of 33,000 denominations is bigger and deeper than the Marianas Trench, and full of spiritually dead sheep. It matters who and what we believe.
I was lost out in the wilderness, and I could not find my way. I had drifted from the others, a lost sheep gone astray. The shepherd knew I was missing, for my face he didn't see, and he left the 99. Came searching for me, all alone and weary, in some far-off troubled land, crying out for mercy, holding up a feeble hand, knowing I was doomed forever, till the shepherd heard my plea, when he left the 99 and came searching for me. He lifted me from darkness, a shelter from all harm. At last I knew I was safely back in my shepherd's home. When my trials here are over and my journey is complete, and I'm safely home with Jesus, back in my shepherd's keep, I will praise him forever throughout eternity for leaving the 99. Come searching for me.
Down in the green valley that I love so well, all through the green pastures with Jesus I'll dwell. Beside the still